Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Macy Gray.
So, Canton, Ohio. What was Canton, Ohio like? I've been to Ohio. I've been to Cleveland. I've been to Cincinnati. Canton.
Mm-hmm. Canton is it's about 120,000 people, and it's a factory town. Most everybody there. There's a roller bearings factory. There's a Ford factory. There's a huge steel factory.
So is that kind of like one of Ohio's Detroits to a certain extent?
Sort of.
Sounds very industrial.
Well, they make right across the street in Akron, Ohio, where LeBron's from. That's where they make all the rubber in the States. So it's all it's kind of a big factory community.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you weren't there for long.
Well, I went to boarding school when I was 14, but then I went back home. I go home a lot, but I technically went to boarding school when I was 14 years old. Then I went to USC when I was 17.
So back then, as you were growing up, did you see a lot of movies and say, I'm gonna make movies?
Yeah, you know what? I used to watch a lot of TV, and they did everything in California, and California just looked so pretty. So I only applied to schools in California, and I got into USC, I got into Stanford, and one more I forgot. But I went to USC because it was right in L.A.
So now you get to California, yeah. And so many people who come from Ohio or Missouri or a million places, right? Yeah. You know, it's like watching the Beverly Hillbillies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Swimming pools and movie stars. But then you get there and you say to yourself, what did you say?
Oh, I was in awe.
You always cracked up to be?
Yeah, when you're 17, I went crazy. I thought I was in heaven or something. Like, I'd never seen a palm tree before. And actually, USC is actually in a kind of a bad area. LA Live wasn't there. We were like right in the hood. Like, they have this gang called the Hoover Crips, and USC is actually right on Hoover and Adams.
So you do that, and then the lore goes that you were discovered in Beverly Hills, and next thing you know, here we are today. But it's not that way.
No, it didn't.
Can you fill in a couple of the blanks? Because there's some hard work that went on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I had a real knack for writing. I was always a good writer. And so I applied to the writing programs, and USC had a script writing program. And I really didn't even know what that was, but I applied to it, and I got in. We had to send writing samples. So actually, the USC Film School at the time is they had, there's a film school, and then there's the music schools right here. And then right in between, there's like a big kind of park where everybody hangs out. So I was always hanging out with the music students, and there was this one kid who had a four-track. That's how old I am. He had a four-track in his dorm room.
Please, I cut reel to reel.
Yeah, and we used to go in there and write songs on his four-track just for fun, just because he had one. And so, you know, when you have ideas for songs, you kind of just sing them to people so they can understand them, so they can hear how they go. So not as a singer, but I was laying all these songs down as a, you know, calling myself being a songwriter. And then a friend of his heard the tapes, and he had this band that did the Sunday brunch at the Ramada Inn every Sunday. And if I did it, I would get paid $100.
And that's a lot of money back then.
Oh, my God. That was like, I was like a billionaire. When you're in college, $100 is everything.
I remember.
Yeah. So it was really just for fun. I was really, and then, you know, gradually it kind of grew on me, and I started liking it, and I found myself in studios, and then I started my own band later, and then I got discovered at the Roxy. The Roxy's not quite in Beverly Hills. I don't know who told you that, but it's in Hollywood. So it was really just for fun. I was really, and then, you know, gradually it kind of grew on me, and I started liking it, and I found myself in studios, and then I started my own band later, and then I got discovered at the Roxy. The Roxy's not quite in Beverly Hills. I don't know who told you that, but it's in Hollywood.
But now, back then, the Roxy, I mean, in that era, Sunset, that's rock and roll city, right?
Yeah, I had a rock band, actually. I was really, like, into rock and roll. Like, MTV was, all I did was...
Female Hendrix.
Yeah, no, I was, like, into, like, hair bands. Like, my favorite band was Poison.
Oh, there you go. the female Slash.
I was, like, huge Guns N' Roses fan. I remember we would have, at all the frat parties, they would blast Welcome to the Jungle.
You really have had this career of being the queen of mixing it up. And I'm not saying getting mixed up, but the way that you segue from film to music, it's almost seamless. You're always, always one place or another, but usually both at the same time, aren't you?
Yeah, I like art. I'm a big art fan, you know, and I like artists. I like talent and people. I actually have a huge crush on writers.
I'm going to get you started, and I want to see how far you can go with this before we get to the record. You got a Chili Pepper, you got a Black Eyed Pea, you got a Carlos Santana. If I roll through all of the people you've worked with, and this is why I'm coming back to the metal and the hair and all of that, most people probably have no idea. They look at your records, they look at what you do, but you just gave me a whole nother story here. Rattle off for me a dozen or 15 of the most amazing and unusual human beings that you've made records with. I've named a few, but really it's almost uncategorizable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. I would hear that people are in the studio and I would just show up, you know, like way back in my much younger days. I don't do it as much as I used to, I've written a song with Stevie Wonder that never came out. We did a song with Questlove and D'Angelo. Who else? Bootsy Collins. I've been to Bootsy Collins' studio once. George Clinton, of course. Oh God, so many people. I'm having trouble naming them. But yeah, I was in the studio with Slash and Duff. We did. They played on my record. Stevie Nicks. I sang on a Stevie Nicks record.
I'm listening to this record, and I'm thinking, you know, and I, one of the quotes that I love that you said, this is raw and dirty and grimy. I don't know if the world knows what that really means anymore, because they probably see you and they go, wait, this is a woman that's had five Grammy nominations, won a Grammy, right? You've done so many things that you're famous for. And so I don't want to use any cliches here, but when you sat down and said, I'm going to make this record, you know, and you use raw, dirty, and grimy, that was your way of saying you were going to go deep here, right? And that this was going to be, you know, this is going to be a record to reckon with.
Yeah, you know, you get those moments where you're just really capable of just pouring your heart out. You know, I think sometimes you go to create and you have all this stuff going on and you have all these things, these comments that people made about the last thing you did, you know. But every once in a while, you can get in there and just be totally, like, open and, like, completely available. You know what I mean?
Well, and I would say with song titles like Queen of the Big Hurt, I Miss the Sex, and Stoned, the second someone cues up that track, they know they're in for a story.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of stuff. Well, the album's called The Way because it's about how everybody wants something out of life, like happiness or true love or nice kids or something. But for whatever you want, you have to find a way to get there. There's a journey that you go on to get where you want to go to. So on your journey, you have millions of stories that all the things that happened on your way to wherever you're trying to go.
Tell me about how this record got put together. You wrote the songs and then...
Well, I didn't write. I write all my lyrics. I didn't write all the music. I did write. There's a song number 10, and I wrote most of the music to that. But
So who did you work with?
I wrote with. Okay, so the first person I went in with was Jason Hill, and we did three songs. Jason's from an old band called Louis the 14th. I don't know if you've heard him. Okay, so he's an awesome producer, though. So then I have a really good friend named Z. He calls himself Royal Z. No one's really heard of him yet, but. But he did exactly maybe 5-6 songs on the record. And then there's a song called Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers. But so the production on there is just so beautiful, you know, just him and the guitar and those strings.
Yep, yep.
So Booker T did that record.
Yes.
So I'm sitting there telling this producer, like, I want it to sound like Ain't No Sunshine. And then I went home that night and I thought to myself, why don't I just call the guy up who did it? So, of course, it was Booker T, and... that was like never gonna happen, but I tried him anyway, and he said yes. So he produced this song called The First Time, and it's one of my favorites on the record. It's really beautiful. It's perfect, and it's exactly, it was way more than I imagined. And he played the organ on it and the piano. So I got triple blessed.
So, yeah, and then the video for Bang Bang is out, and that's pretty, mm-hmm. pretty interesting stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre.
Yeah. So how did that come together?
There's the director, Stan Brooks. It was really his idea, and he brought all those people in. He had never done a video before. He's a good friend of mine, but he did an awesome job.
So when you play, and you're out there, and people are looking, and you think, okay, I want them to know the new me, but I also want them to know the old me. So how does that balance work out? Do you find that there are people who come for both? And more importantly, that people are really surprised when you perform the new things?
Yeah, I think I'll always be me. I don't focus too much on the old me. But, you know, I have a lot of old records that people still remember and still know all the words to. And that's the, you know, that's the flattery, you know, when you're standing up there in a song you put out 15 years ago and some girl that knows every single word, you know, still. So that's what's awesome.
And I was at Sundance for his first big one, but Lee Daniels. Talk about a man with a lot of creativity, a lot of guts, a lot of nerve, and a lot of originality. Yeah. So tell me about that, because that's pretty recent, right?
Yeah, well, I met Lee a while ago. We did his very first director was Shadow Boxer.
Right.
So I met him ages ago in Philly. But I actually saw Lee. Like, Lee, this is a man who, like, will see you at a party, and if he's in the middle of making a movie, if you look like you have money, he'll come up and say, hey, do you have any money? I'm making a movie. Like, he's totally fearless. He has no filter.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. Uh-oh. And what it is two of your songs on either side, but then the rest of it, you get to pick anything you want in between, and I play it exactly as you ask me to, and it's 40 minutes of uninterrupted, no jingles, no nothing, solid music.
No way.